Welcome to the Agile Revolution. We're at the Agile 2016 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm sitting here with Martin Alaimo from Clear. And two reasons I wanted to talk to you, I guess. One is we kind of found each other because I was using, let's use that word, using one of your artifacts in my talk, which is a coaching canvas. But I also sort of ran across your book in the bookstore as well. So welcome, Martin.
Oh, thank you, Craig.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
My name is Martin Alaimo. I'm from Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. I'm based in Buenos Aires right now. I always say that I spend 2 weeks every month in Buenos Aires. Mm-hmm. Then the other 2 weeks are spent somewhere else working. And, well, I've been an agile practitioner since 1999. And I'm agile coach since 2006. Mm-hmm. Also,
so been around a while.
It's been a while. Right now I'm working as a CST and a CEC from the Scrum Alliance. Mm-hmm. And in Clear we provide services about organizational transformation and agile training in different aspects of agility.
So I could be wrong, but I think I can go out there and say this. I think you are our first South American guest, so congratulations.
Thank you.
What is the Agile scene like in South America? Because most of our listeners come from Australia, New Zealand, United States, all very similar in the types of countries they are and things. Not a place I've ever been. I do hope to get there at some point. But what is the Agile scene like in South America?
How Agile is right now in South America is very different from country to country. There's something that I always say that although Brazil is in South America and the rest of the countries are also in South America, we make a mistake when we put all of them together into the same bag.
Yeah,
because there are some language barriers between Brazil and Spanish-speaking language countries, and it makes also cultural differences and market differences and business differences and economic differences. So for the Spanish-speaking countries, it's a very non-even level of agility. Mm-hmm. Both, I think, Argentina and Colombia right now are leading in the, from an agile point of view. And Mexico is getting closer. Chile is getting closer also. And there are other countries that are currently developing an agile practice in their business that are like Uruguay, Peru is Peru is at the level of Colombia and Argentina, in between there, and most of Central America is also starting to see some agile adoptions in mainstream organizations.
That's great. Culturally, has there been any? The reason these things often flourish in North America, Canada, it's that kind of culture that makes this collaboration work.
Yeah.
Has there been any culture barriers when for you trying to introduce essentially a North American concept into a South American culture?
There are. Especially there are some countries in Latin America that have been through dictatorial governments. And there are a very strong culture of hierarchy and power in some of them, especially in some generations inside those countries. And when that kind of generation is leading organizations, you can find more barriers, about collaboration and self-organization and freedom inside organizations. So that's can be quite difficult to overcome, and it is easier in other organizations that have younger generations that never went through that kind of social system before.
Interesting. So, as I said, how we sort of met was, I think you also saw a tweet, I don't think you're actually in my talk on Monday, but for those who don't know, I gave a talk on coaching. And one of the things I've used for a lot of years is the Coaching Alliance, which is something that Lisa Adkins and Michael Spay, as part of their practice, talk about. And as I was looking for visuals, because I have a pretty boring template that I use, As I was looking for visuals, when I first introduced that talk, I came across your canvas, which is Creative Commons and attributable, so I did all the right things, I hope, in using it. But really great resource, and there's actually lots of great resources on the CLEAR website. But what sort of what was your driver to go and build a coaching canvas?
Yeah, back in 2011, I get my certification as a coach, a professional coach, apart from the Agile world. And since then, I've been more and more involved in what is organizational and executive coaching. And at some point, there was an argument inside a team where people were not getting clear about their problem. And we start having a coaching conversation, I can say, with the system representing that team. There was a very difficult, noticed problem of focus right there. So it was very hard to keep that conversation flowing. So we were doing, at that moment, business model canvas. So I took the business model canvas, that's what printed there. I write other names in each of the columns and start having conversation with post-it notes, with sticky notes. So every time there was one of the interesting concepts that were raising, we were putting sticky notes on the canvas. And that was a tool that helped me refocus the conversation and get it back into track when it was going out of shape.
And were you using that canvas at the start of your coaching, or was it something you're using all the way through?
No. I started using the canvas...
The start of an engagement. So when you'd start an engagement with a new team or a new company, is that when you'd bring that out and do the sticky notes, or all the way through the engagement?
All the way through. Okay. And, well, I see that as a tool for having meaningful conversations, and those kind of conversations might happen at the start, in the middle, or at the end of an engagement. Mm-hmm. It's not actually a tool for guiding an engagement. Mm-hmm. Maybe... it's more about having different kind of conversations throughout all the engagement.
See, that's interesting. I tend to use it more as the starting point, in the same way that you'd use a business model canvas to say, here's my business plan. It's not that you don't update it throughout there, but it's very much the start.
Because
I want to actually understand what is your goal and what are things you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember all the actual points on that canvas, but you know, you sort of fill that out in the same way that you'd follow through a normal business model canvas.
Right, exactly. And one very useful application I discovered over time was about having it on different retrospectives. So it helped uncover issues, emotions, interpretations of people, and it gives you a tool to have an action plan. And out of the retrospective, you have the next actions and next steps. Sometimes we complement that with what's called a Toyota kata.
Yep.
Yeah. And it may last longer than an improvement cycle. Mm. It may be going through different improvement cycles towards that goal.
Excellent. So, now, you're speaking here at the conference this year. What was your topic?
Yesterday, I had a workshop together with Olaf Lewitz. Mm. We facilitated a powerful questions workshop for Agile coaches. It was great experience. We get great feedback.
Did you find a lot of people weren't aware of that? Because I talked about that, my talk was on Monday, and I was surprised when I had a small carter in my talk on that, how many people were completely unaware. When I asked them what powerful question they would have asked in that scenario, I wasn't getting any powerful questions. And,
right.
And my talk wasn't really talking about it, so I hope people who came to my talk came down to yours to actually learn what the heck they were.
Yeah. It was... One of the feedback was that I came out from the workshop more aware of the questions I am currently doing and what questions would help me get deeper and would help my clients dig deeper into their beliefs. So
something here we talk on the podcast here, I mean, we're having a conversation, but I often will ask a question of you and I go, no, that wasn't really powerful, was it? So I seem to not practice what I preach when I turn the microphone on, but there you go. Now, the other thing is browsing past the bookstore where we just met up. You just released your first book?
No, it's the third one.
The third book. There
it's
you go.
The third one. This particular book is, I can tell it, a special book. because although it is the third book I get published in these last 4 years, it's the first book of a kind of big will I have. It's about providing an option for career development or professional development for agile coaches. And this is just the first step for developing your skills and your practice. Mm-hmm. So it is called Agile Team Facilitator. Mm-hmm. And it's the first volume of a series that I happen to call Chief Agility Officer. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the covers of the book, you will see that the chief is scratched out. Yeah. Yeah, so and the officer has an S at last. It is like when you see it, you can read Agility Officers. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that there's no chief. And you need many people inside an organization moving towards agility in order for that to last. Yeah. You need it. And the reason why I use that name about a C-level role, although it's not intended to be a C-level role, but agility needs to penetrate the nerve or of the organization. Yeah. And many leaders should be there embracing agile values in order for that to be sustained over time.
What about the Agile Team Facilitator? Is that another name for a Scrum Master in your world?
Well, I think the Scrum Master role, as it is stated, it has some condiments of other disciplines. And one of those disciplines is facilitation. And so Agile Team Facilitator, from my point of view, is just an evolution of part of the role of the Scrum Master. So I'm a Scrum Master, I can develop more on the facilitation side so that I can provide better facilitations to my team. And there are also other disciplines like the training and coaching, and both Lisa and Michael's present a very clear model of that. Yeah.
And just briefly, your two books came. So there's a series of these books coming along. This is the first in the series.
This is the first in the series of 5 books, mm-hmm, that go through Agile Team Facilitator, coaching, team coaching, training on Agile, mentoring, and it finished with executive coaching on Agile transformations.
Excellent. We'll look out for those as they come out. Have you got a bit of a plan on the release cycle there?
Yeah, my intention is.
I'm not wanting to get you to give an estimate or anything, because that's not what we do.
No. But maybe in between to release one book between 8 to 12 months.
Okay. So over the next few years, we'll see the series come out. Excellent. Now, the other two that you've written, what are they?
The other one, the first book I've written is called Agile Project with Scrum, mm-hmm, but it's only published in Spanish, mm-hmm, and is a book I co-written with Martin Salias, a partner of mine in my company Clear.
So how do you say that in Spanish? What's the title in Spanish?
The title in Spanish is Proyectos Ágiles con Scrum.
That was just for ladies out there. I know my co-host Renee will love hearing that.
And that was my first book. It got published on 2013. Mm. And 2014 was a book called High Performance Teams. Mm-hmm. But it's another controversial title. I used to choose controversial titles. And it's not about performing on measuring your production, but instead it's based on a formula that I came through in my career that was R equals R. And it means that the quality of the results you get are proportional to the quality of the relationships you get to establish with the people. Mm. And the title of the book is High Performing Teams, but the word performance is tied to the relationships you are able to build inside a team.
You can't have relations at all performance without an R in there, can you?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been great catching up with you. I said thanks for reaching out, and said we hadn't met before until a couple of days ago, but it's great to know who you are, and we'll be looking out for the other books. If people want to know more about you or more about Clear, mm-hmm, where do they go find out more information?
They can get more information on our site. That is Clear. .la because of Latin America, and the other on English language is clear.us. Mm-hmm. And to reach me, it's martinalaimo.com. Mm-hmm. And my Twitter nickname is Martin Alaimo, all together. And clear is clear_LA. So you can reach us there.
And all the resources you have, including the great coaching canvas, are on the Clear site. So
exactly.
So look out for that. And the book also available through Clear?
You can find it in Amazon. Mm-hmm. And in the site of Clear, you will find the publishing schedule and the landing pages that point you towards Amazon.
Excellent. All right, excellent. Well, I'd suggest you go and check that out. I'll certainly be adding to my reading list. So one last thing. When we finish off the podcast, we usually say Viva la Revolution, which is very Latin American. So could you join us in one of those as we finish?
Sure.
On the count of three. One, two, three.
Viva la Revolution.
Is that any different in Spanish? Viva la Revolution.
No, it's Viva la Revolución. It's a difference in accent, but...
The accent makes it all.
Let's say it again.
Viva la Revolución.
Thank you, Craig.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.